Okay, so to me, this is Sphera Saomer. I don't know if this picture is familiar to anybody else or kind of a variation on this picture. It's a very cute way of thinking about Sphera Saomer because, of course, we started here at Pesach counting, and we're working our way up to Shavuos, and we're counting 49 days. And at the same time, Shavuos, we celebrate the receiving of the Torah, which happened on Har Sinai. So we can feel like as we're counting up, and we're counting up the mountain, right? We're climbing the mountain to get to Shavuos. So I wanted to start with this metaphor today and just unpack that image. What is it about mountain climbing that speaks to us so much during this time? And actually, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to unpack four different metaphors. I'm going to offer four different metaphors about how we could think about Sphera Saomer. And I think each one of these metaphors kind of brings out a different aspect of Sphera Saomer, can help us relate to it in a different way. So hopefully by going through these four different metaphors, it will give us four different ways to bring an intention, to bring meaning and set a goal into our Sphera Saomer so that we feel like by the time we reach Shavuos, we've really accomplished what we set out to accomplish. So we'll start out with this mountain metaphor. So I decided that I thought, like, who do I know who's a mountain climber? I really want to interview a mountain climber, but I don't think I know any. So instead, am I frozen? I wanted to really hear from a mountain climber, but since I don't know any, I instead decided to watch a TED Talk. And I heard a TED Talk from a mountain climber, and I wanted to share what he shared about his top nine rules for successful mountain climbing. I think a lot of them speak for themselves. This is from Matthew Childs, who is not only a mountain climber, but he's also a climbing guide. So I think a lot of these speak for themselves in terms of how they relate as a metaphor for Sphera Saomer. But we'll elaborate on a few of them. So the first thing he said is, it sounds obvious, but don't let go, right? Number one, we got to stick with it, continue to hold on to that mountain and continue to climb. Rule number two, he said, don't hesitate. Momentum is key, right? So we're counting Sphera Saomer. We don't want to start to doubt ourselves. Can I keep up with it? Am I going to be ready for Shavuos? No, we just got to go day by day, keep up the momentum and continue with it. Rule number three, have a plan. So I wanted to share a medrash that I learned recently from Parshas Vayetze. And the medrash says, Chalomos harishayim lo b'shamayim v'lo ba'aretz, aval chalomos shel tzadikim b'shamayim u'ba'aretz. The dreams of evil people are neither in the earth nor in the heavens. The dreams of righteous people are both on the earth and in the heavens. So this is an allusion to two different dreams that we read about in the Torah, right? We have the dream of Paro, where Paro is omed al sfas ha'or, he's standing by the water, so he's neither on land nor in the sky. And then we have the dream of Yaakov, where he's lying on the ground and he sees a ladder, mutzav artza, the bottom of the ladder is planted in the ground, beroshom magia hashamayma, and the top of the ladder reaches to the heavens. So this is a metaphor for the fact that when a tzaddik aspires, when a tzaddik tries to reach a goal, like Yaakov Avinu, on the one hand, you set your sights all the way to heaven, right? We have big goals, we have big dreams, we have big aspirations. On the other hand, if you're a tzaddik, you know, it's not enough to just dream big. You have to have a plan. You have to have your feet firmly planted on the ground. You have to have a ladder that's going to get you to the heavens. And then you have to go rung by rung, right? You have to have a plan. So as we're coming into Sphera Saomer, well, we're already in Sphera Saomer, but as we continue with Sphera Saomer, right? First of all, we have to have a plan for, just every day. How am I going to remember to count? Am I going to have something next to my bed? Am I going to have something on the fridge? Am I going to set a reminder on my phone? Whatever it is, but also have a plan for, spiritually. What do I want to be working on? What do I want to accomplish by the time I reach Shavuos? And we could dream big, right? We want to be worthy vessels to receive the Torah on Shavuos. We want to be united with the Jewish people. We want to have taken the inspiration from Pesach and put it into action, right? There's so much we want to accomplish. Now let's make a plan and let's break it down rung by rung. What am I going to do every day to reach that goal? And we're talking right now very abstract, but I'm going to get into some very concrete suggestions throughout the course of this year. So hopefully we'll all be able to get our plan into place. Rule number four, I thought this was so interesting how he phrased it. He said, the move is the end. He said, yes, you want to get to the top of the mountain, but don't think about getting to the top of the mountain when you're doing the climb. Every single step is its own goal in itself, right? So we're not just focusing on the big picture as we're approaching Shavuos, but every single day we're counting. We're saying today is another day. And I'm going to count. I'm just counting today right now. And tomorrow is another day. I'm just counting tomorrow, right? And the fact that we count up instead of counting down how many days left until Shavuos, we count up. Today is the first day. Today is the second day. Today is the 10th day, whatever it is, shows that it's not just the destination that's important as we're approaching Shavuos, but it's the process. It's the journey that's important. The move is the end. Rule number five, he said, know how to rest. So this is one of the most common pitfalls of mountain climbers. The best mountain climbers know and are always thinking, where am I going to stop and where am I going to rest, right? With Sefirot HaOmer too, we're counting every single day, right? And we're never resting. Every single day, another day, another mission, another goal, something else to accomplish. But at the end of the week, we look back and we count the week, right? On the seventh day, we say, today's the seventh day, and now it's been a week. Today's the 14th day, and now it's been 2 weeks, right? We know to take those moments to stop and reflect, not only on what we want to accomplish next, but on what we've already accomplished. And to kind of, you know, find that place in the mountain where we can pause, we can rest, we can overlook how much we've accomplished so far. And we can get chizuk, we can get strength from what we have accomplished. Rule number six. He actually used a different word, but I'm not going to use that word. I'm going to say fear stinks. Don't be scared, right? He said, it takes 100% of your energy to get to the next step. Don't waste any of your energy thinking about the consequences of if you fail, right? And the same is going to be true as we're approaching Shavuos, as we're starting to think about what are our spiritual goals? What do we want to accomplish by the time we reach Shavuos? We can't spend any of our energy thinking, what if I can't do it? You know, I don't know if I have what it takes. We'll get there. We'll get to plan B in a minute. But that's something that's, you know, we don't think about unless we get there. Rule number seven, he said, opposites are good. And we'll see this. We're going to flesh this out a lot in terms of Sefirot HaOmer soon. But he said, you know, if you have your foot here, you want to have the opposite hand here, right? If you're putting pressure in one area, you want to balance it out with pressure on the other side. It's not only about strength. And this is rule number eight. It's not only about strength, but it's also about strategy. It's about technique and it's about balance. Really interesting. He said, men often make the mistake of putting too much of their training into strength training. And then they get on the mountain and they can't keep it up. He said, where women more intuitively understand that there are a lot of different pieces that are required to make it successful. And women will more naturally invest in strategy and in balance. And those pieces are important to success. And rule number nine, he said, know how to let go. He said he learned this the hard way when he fell and he broke a rib. He said he didn't have a plan when he realized he was about to fall. He had no plan for how he was going to fall. Remind me about when I took ice skating lessons, the first thing they taught us was how to fall and then how to get back, you know, how to fall safely and then how to get back up from that fall. So we have to have a plan in place. If we see that it's not going well, not to despair, but to know how to gracefully recover from that and then get back in the game. Okay, so that's metaphor number one. Looking at Sefirot HaOmer as mountain climbing. And I think if we could take these nine rules of mountain climbing into Sefirot HaOmer, it can help us a little bit think about, you know, what we're trying to accomplish during this time. Rav Wolbe in Ale Shur has an essay on Pesach where he talks about These two aspects of both education, raising children, and they're also two aspects of our own personal growth. And the two aspects are binyan and smicha. We have on the one hand, building. We need structure. We need a framework. And on the other hand, we have a planting, a zriah process, planting seeds, which happens slowly and organically, and it's different for every person. And, you know, if you think about it as a tomato plant. So in the past couple of years, I got into gardening a little bit. It's very basic, but I learned that tomatoes are supposed to be the easiest. So I've been doing tomatoes. But Rivoli talks about this tomato plant as a metaphor for our personal growth, right? If you plant tomatoes and you have no structure, they have no trellis upon which to grow, they're going to sprawl all over the place and they're not going to survive. They have no way to, they have nothing supporting them, right? On the other hand, if you just have the structure and you don't plant the seeds, you're not going to grow anything. So we need both. And he says this is true in raising children, but it's also true in our own personal development. And Judaism provides for us both aspects. Halacha provides the structure. Halacha is building us the structure. This is the way to start your day. This is the way to go through your week. This is the way to go through a holiday. This is the way to prepare for something, right? And it's building us the structure. At the same time, we have Ma'amari Chazal. We have the words of Agadata. We have the words of our sages. That's like planting the seeds. And when we're living a life of halacha, when we have that structure upon which to grow, then when we get those words of Chazal, for example, when we just went through Pesach, right? We had all these halachos leading up to Pesach. And then we get to the night of the Seder and we have the Haggadah. And we all have all these deep messages and all these, insights that every single year we turn them over and we think about them and we discuss them. And as we go through the Seder, the steps of the Seder are giving us a structure that we can take those wise words of Chazal and kind of grow upon that structure, right? To accomplish something, to have built something by the end of the Seder. And I think this mashal is very true for Sfiras HaOmer as well. We have the structure of Sfiras HaOmer. Halacha tells us, you have to count every day. This is when you have to count. This is the order that you have to count every single day. Counting upwards, etc. And at the same time, we have Ma'amari Chazal. Ma'amari Chazal, first of all, we learn Pirkei Avos during this time, which is a great way to grow upon the structure of Sfiras HaOmer. But another way we could grow upon the structure of Sfiras HaOmer is through the Sfiros. Now, the Sfiros is something I didn't really know so much about, but that's been the focus of my Sfiras HaOmer so far this year, and I wanted to share that with you. Which brings me to my second metaphor. Second way to think about Sfiras HaOmer is like a spiral curriculum. And I think the Sfiros function like a spiral curriculum, and I'm going to explain how. So for those who are not familiar, a spiral curriculum is a concept in education where every single, the same topic is taught over and over again. But as a child develops, they're taught the same concepts in a more sophisticated way or a new application, right? And we do the spiral curriculum all the time in educating ourselves, right? Every single year, we learn the same parsha, right? Every single parsha's brachos, we learn the same parsha's brachos. But every single year, we are in a different place. We've developed and we're able to now notice new nuances of it, understand it on a deeper level, right? Hopefully the way that we understood it when we were five is different than the way that we're understanding it as adults. And every single year, our understanding grows. So how does this relate to Sfiras HaOmer, right? We have the structure of Sfiras HaOmer that's given to us by halacha. And then we have this concept of the Sfiros. So I'm going to try to do like a crash course right now in the Sfiros. But obviously there's a lot more to learn. I'll offer some resources for those who want to learn more. Okay, so we have 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer. And each week of Sfiras HaOmer, Chazal tell us corresponds to a different sphera or a different attribute that we can be working on. Really, Hashem has 10 spheros. Hashem has 10 attributes, three of them, the top three here, Keser, Bina, and Chachma, are unattainable for us. So those we don't address. But the bottom seven are midos that we can strive to emulate in our own lives. So we start the first week of Sfirat HaOmer is the week of Chesed. And every single day, we're thinking about Chesed and we're working on Chesed. And then the second week is Gevura, right? And each one of these midos corresponds also to one of our ancestors who can serve as a role model of that midah. It also corresponds to a certain part of the body. You know, you see, you have like Chesed and Gevura are the right and left arms. They balance each other out. We need kindness. We need to be giving, right? On the other hand, we need to know when to hold back, when to restrain. And then you have Tiferes, which is, as you see in this diagram, Tiferes is like in the middle, the balance of Chesed and Gevura. And then similarly, you have the right leg and the left leg, Netzach and Hod, right? Hod is like the splendor. What's you know, speaking to me right now? What's meaningful? What's pleasing in the moment? And then you have Netzach, eternity, seeing the big picture. And then you have Yesod, which brings them together, like the fusion of, bringing this spiritual, the eternal, into the physical world. That's Yesod. And then finally, the last week of Sfirat HaOmer, we work on the Midah of Malchus, and that's kingship. And kingship is different from all of the other midos because all the other midos are thought of as kind of masculine midos, as midos that are, what's the word? They are imposing, impacting, you know, outside of themselves. And Shechina is the one that kind of brings everything together, is receptive, and is a fusion of all of the other midos. And that's thought about as Malchus because really a king is meant to be not an agent of himself, but really an agent of the people, and is really meant to be empowering and bringing together and uniting the entire people, right? So every single week, we're working on a different midah. How is that like a spiral curriculum? Well, it's like a spiral curriculum because not only every week are we working on a different midah, but every day is a different midah, okay? So if this is new for you, this might be a little bit overwhelming, but again, I'm gonna offer a resource that might help make this a little bit more practical, right? So week one, we have Chesed, but also day one of every single week is also Chesed. So week one, day one, we're focusing just on pure Chesed. Week one, day two, the second day of every week is Gevura, is restraint. So day two of Sfirat HaOmer, we're trying to combine Chesed and Gevura and balance those two midos. How can we work on Chesed in a way that also is infused with Gevura? Day three, how can we work on Chesed in a way that's infused with Tiferes, etc.? So if I, let's say, wanted to work on Chesed during Sfirat HaOmer, it's functioning as a spiral curriculum in the sense that the first week, I can work on Chesed on a very basic level. But the second week, now I'm focusing on Gevura. So now I'm taking my Chesed to the next level by saying, okay, how can I take my Chesed now and incorporate everything that I'm learning about Gevura into it? How can I continue to give and give and give, but also know when to hold back and also know how to overcome the barriers that are standing in the way of giving? Maybe give to a person who's more difficult for me to relate to, maybe give in a situation where it's harder for me to give, right? So I can take my goal and every week spiral to a different level so that by the time I reach Shavuos, I've gotten to the highest level of that midah. And I'm just going to offer, before we go on to the third metaphor, I just want to offer two suggestions, two resources. One of them, this is what I'm using this year. This book is called Spheros. It's by Rabbi Yaakov Haber. And every week he starts out by explaining the Sfira of that week. What does it mean? What does Chesed mean? What does Gevura mean? And then every day he explains here. Day number eight, Chesed Shebegvura. Every day he explains what does Chesed Shebegvura mean? What does it mean to now have Chesed today, but I'm also combining it with Gevura? And then to make it really practical, he has three action points for every day. One is between us and God, Bein Adam L'Makom. One is Bein Adam L'Chavero, something we could do between man and his fellow man. And one is Bein Adam L'Atzmo, something I could do just in my relationship to myself. So he's taking these really you know, Kabbalistic, lofty concepts, making them really practical. What is something you could do today? Pick one, pick all three, whatever you want. Something you could do today to bring this home. So that by the time we've finished Sfira So Omer, we've really gone through this entire curriculum, taking all of these seven really lofty midos and, you know, elevating them all to the highest level. Which brings me to my third metaphor. So this is the way that I've mostly been thinking about Sfira So Omer this year, as I've been reading through Rabbi Haber's book and every day thinking about two midos balancing each other out. I keep thinking about two surfaces rubbing against each other and sharpening each other, right? If I have a pencil or I have a knife, I have some kind of a tool and I rub something else against it that's causing it some friction, what's going to happen is that knife or that pencil or that tool is going to get sharper, right? If I take chesed and I say, oh, I want to work on chesed, I'm going to make a mommy meal for this person and I'm going to call this old lady on the phone and I'm going to, you know, help somebody with their groceries and great. So, you know, I'm working on chesed maybe on the bottom level of the spiral curriculum, right? In a basic way. But if I now take chesed and I rub gevura against it and I say, okay, what happens when I have to exercise restraint at the same time that I'm giving? Those are two forces working against each other. I'm now sharpening my chesed so it's more refined, so it's more specific, so it's more useful in all different types of situations. So if I'm thinking about chesed as my example right now, right? The first day of chesed Shiva chesed, the first day of Sfira So Omer, I was thinking about, okay, let's just like give purely, right? Just chesed Shiva chesed. Let me just let the chesed run free. Let me see how much I can give. You know, let me see if I could do it altruistically, right? That's the first day. The second day I introduce gevura and I rub gevura against chesed. And I say, okay, today I'm going to focus on a person that's really tough to do chesed to. And now I'm going to try to do chesed in that situation. Or I'm going to focus on a situation where chesed might actually involve restraint. Maybe I really want to give, I really want to help my kid tie their shoe, but I know that the real chesed is to let them learn to tie their shoe themselves, right? So that's gevura shiva chesed. Now I'm sharpening my chesed. Okay, it's getting a little bit more refined. The third day, I have tiferes. Now I'm striving for balance within my kindness, right? Can I vacillate between those two extremes, between chesed and gevura, every situation? What is the exact balance that's called for here? Can I bring it together, right? The fourth day, I have netzach shiva chesed. Netzach is eternality. Can I look for acts of chesed that are really lasting? Can I think about not just something that's going to make me feel good in the moment, something that's going to make the other person feel good in the moment, but something that's really going to last for somebody? Can I think about somebody who's done a chesed for me that's made a lifelong impact? I reach out to them and say thank you for netzach shiva chesed. Now I'm going to sharpen my chesed tool even more. Hod shiva chesed, right? Hod is beauty. Can I strive to do acts of kindness that are not only helping somebody else, but are really beautiful? Can I strive to see the beauty in the chesed that God does for me every single day? Now yesod shiva chesed. Can I strive to do chesed in a way that's fundamental? Can I give people things that they really need? Can I do the chesed of taking the spiritual, right? Yesod is supposed to bring netzach and hod together. Can I do the chesed of bringing spirituality into the world? Can I give people the gift of teaching them some Torah, of showing them the beauty of Judaism, of making a Kiddush Hashem, of helping them connect with Hashem? And finally, Malchus Sheva Chesed. And there's so many ways to understand each one of these, but one way to think about Malchus Sheva Chesed maybe is, can I strive now on the highest level of chesed to really emulate Hashem, to be like the Melech when I do chesed, and think about the ways that God functions in chesed, right? God gives to other people anonymously, with no fanfare, right? And he continues to give even if people don't acknowledge that it's coming from him, right? God gives to people endlessly, even if they're not appreciative, right? Can I strive to do chesed like Hashem? Or can I strive to do a chesed of bringing Hashem's presence into this world? right? So every single week, sorry, every single day of Chesed week, I'm rubbing another midah against Chesed, sharpening it, so that by the time I get to Shavuos, I have a toolkit with seven beautiful midos in it, and every single one has been sharpened so that it can be used and it can function in any situation, and it's perfectly honed. Okay, so that's metaphor number three. And finally, metaphor number four, refining silver. So there's a mashal that I've heard a number of times, but it speaks to me every single time that I hear it. And my daughter, Devorah, said it at the Seder this year. She said, there was a girl who got a silver necklace from her mother for her birthday. And she said, this silver is so beautiful. It's so shiny. It's so pure. How do they make silver? I'm so curious, like how they get it to be so beautiful. And her mother said, you know what? Let's take a field trip. We're going to go. We're going to visit a silversmith. And we're going to find out how silver is made. So they go. They find a silversmith. And they go to visit his shop. And he says, okay, I'm going to show you how I make the silver. But here's the deal. You cannot talk. You cannot ask any questions. You cannot interrupt the whole time that I'm doing it until the end. So they said, okay, they agreed. And he starts his process, right? And he takes this big chunk of, like, you know, looks like a rock or something, and it's all dirty and it's all, you know, rough around the edges, and it's huge and it's heavy. And he puts it into the furnace. And he's turning it and he's turning it and he's turning it, and it's blazing and it's hot. And the chunk of rock is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And they're sitting there, the girl and her mother, and they're saying, it's going to disappear altogether. What's happening? And they're, you know, they want to call out, but then they remember they're not supposed to say anything. They're not supposed to ask any questions. So they're just watching and watching. Finally, he's turning it. He's watching it. He pulls it out, and it's much smaller now. But it's glowing and it's shining and it's beautiful. And he says, my silver is done. And they look at him and they say, okay, now that you're done, we have so many questions, right? Why do you have to stick it in such hot fire? And why did you keep turning it? And why were you watching it? And why couldn't we interrupt you? And why did it keep getting smaller and smaller? And how did you know it wasn't going to disappear? And how did you know when to take it out? He said, whoa, here's the way that silver works. If you want to remove the impurities so that you can get really at what the silver really is, get to the pure silver, you have to put it in a very, very hot fire. But it has to be watched the entire time, because as the impurities are coming out, it's getting smaller and smaller, 1 second too long in the fire. And you're right, it would disappear completely. It would be destroyed completely. So I'm watching it. It's not done yet. But then at the exact moment that it's done, I pull it out immediately. Not 1 second too long. And the girl says, but how do you know? How do you know that that's the moment? And he said, I know that it's done when I can see my reflection in it. That is the way that Hashem puts us through life, right? That is the way that Hashem puts us through trials and tribulations. And we sometimes have experiences where we go through fire. And it's not fun. It's painful. And the Jewish people, you know, going through the Pesach story, they became much smaller, right? Many people, unfortunately, died in the time in Mitzrayim. But ultimately, the people were getting purified until they got to a place where Hashem says, I'm not keeping you a second longer, because now I know that you're ready. You're at your pure essence. You're at who you're supposed to be. And I know because I could see my reflection in you. I could see my midos in you. So one more way to think about Sefiras HaOmer, we know that this is not an easy time. Sefiras HaOmer is a time of mourning, and we have various halachos that relate to that in memory of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students who passed away. And I heard a shiur recently by Revitzin Sipora Heller. She said, it's not a coincidence that Sefiras HaOmer is a time of mourning, because what's happening during this time period of the year? We had Pesach. We have this amazing high. We're celebrating the most revealed miracles throughout Jewish history. We're sitting at the Seder. We're supposed to personally feel like we went through Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? So we're personally feeling like I'm experiencing all these miracles. I'm experiencing all the makos. I'm experiencing Kriyas Yamsov. I'm experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. not only am I experiencing all these miracles, I'm experiencing the revelation of God. That's what I'm supposed to be experiencing. And I'm experiencing at the same time, goes hand in hand with that, is a connection to who I really am inside. I'm meeting myself. I'm getting to the place of that pure silver, right? This is who I really am. This is who I want to be. I'm so clear. I know what my goals are. Amazing. Pesach is awesome. And then Pesach goes away. And what happens now? The inspiration is taken away. So do we just move on and we go back to how life was before? No, Rebbetzin Heller says that's Sfiras HaOmer. We're supposed to be working day by day. We're going to take that amazing clarity and all those goals and all that high level of connection to Hashem. We're going to reach that again by the time we get to Shavuos. But now we need to work for it day by day, step by step, right? Climbing the rungs of the ladder, climbing up that mountain, going up the spiral curriculum, taking those midos and rubbing them against each other to refine each one. And the only way that we can really do that, Rebbetzin Heller says, is in a time of concealment, in a time where it's difficult, right? Hashem takes away the inspiration so that we ourselves can choose it on our own and we can own it. Rebbetzin Heller says, when it's the week of Chesed, don't expect it to be Chesed opportunities right and left at every corner and unicorns and rainbows and everything is going to be Chesed all the time. Expect it to be a week when Chesed is going to be challenging, right? This week is the week of Gevura. This is going to be a week where Gevura is going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to restrain, right? It's going to be difficult to say no to that piece of cake. It's going to be difficult to put our instincts, you know, aside and do the things that we know that we really need to do. My husband pointed out today that today was Yom HaShoah, which always falls out Kaf Ches Nisan, and is always the day of Hod Shebigvura, beauty within judgment, right? So that's a challenge today. Can we take this day of this day, which is now ending, this day of remembering all of the judgment and all of the pain and all of the suffering, and can we somehow take something good out of it, right? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge. But ultimately, Hashem is putting us through this furnace of saying, can we purify each one of these midos that we have? We have the potential to be giants of chesed, to be giants of gevura, to be giants of hod, giants of tiferes, right? Can we take each of these midos and put them in the fire until we can take them out and see that Hashem is reflected within us? Rabbi Yaakov Haber, in his book, says, as much as the spheros reveal about God himself, they also hold the key to understanding what it means to have been created in God's image. As much as the spheros reveal about God himself, they also hold the key to understanding what it means to have been created in God's image. We have the opportunity now during Sfiras HaOmer to take seven attributes that belong really to God, and to say, these are attributes that can be reflected within us. We can climb this mountain step by step, not letting go, keeping our sights high, but at the same time, focusing on every single step and persevering no matter what. We have the opportunity to go up this spiral curriculum, taking each of these midos and slowly bringing them to the next level, and to the next level, and to the next level, rubbing each midah up against each other so that we have this beautiful seven-piece toolkit to come into Shavuos with. And finally, taking each one of these midos and putting them into the Kor HaBarzel, putting them into the furnace to purify each one of them. So hopefully we ourselves will reach Shavuos as a vessel that is worthy of receiving the Torah. Thank you all so much for coming. Wishing you a wonderful rest of your Sfiras HaOmer. It should be successful and meaningful. We should be able to do the binyan and stay with the count, but at the same time also be doing the tzmicha, the internal growth process at the same time, and come to Shavuos feeling prepared and inspired.